Last Sunday, we looked at Isaiah 66, one of the prophets, and we saw how God rejects the religious activities of his people. Why? Because they did not hear when God speaks to them. They were not open to what God was speaking to them through the word or through his prophets. God spoke very clearly that what he desires is that his people are broken and contrite, broken as we use the metaphor of broken soil that receives the seed and receives the word. And God desires such brokenness in our life, openness in our life. There's also another reason that we find in the prophets, another reason why God rejects the religious acts of his people. And that is because his people are unjust. There's injustice. There's lack of compassion. There's lack of concern for the needy, for the vulnerable. Instead of caring for the needy and the vulnerable, his people would often take advantage of those who are powerless and who are vulnerable. And this is one of the main reasons why God often rejects the worship, the religious activities of his people. And I think it is in connection with that that today's thought comes, today's message comes. And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 9. So I don't have a slide again, but please follow me along in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. Okay, Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. And I'll be reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. Matthew 9, 9 to 13. Jesus calls Matthew. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This text, of course, we have looked at this, I think, last year when we were looking at the life of Jesus. And so I will not really focus on the narrative, the story here. I just want to focus on this line, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," that Jesus quotes here. And of course, the story, immediate story, just to give a bit of a context, is that the religious people, religious leaders, rejected this quote-unquote sinners and tax collectors because they did not fit in with their standards of what they think righteousness is. In short, what that means is that if you are religious, if you are righteous, you should be associating and you should be dwelling with certain type of people. And these are the people who are inside. And those who are outside are not righteous. A stronger word that is often used is unclean and unfit to be in that presence. And these religious people that were complaining to Jesus, instead of having compassion on those who are outside, they were using religion to carve out this comfortable, pleasant space for themselves and to push away those who are really who are needy, right? And so Jesus was really coming and sort of critiquing this kind of mentality of the religious, righteous, quote-unquote righteous people. And he's, of course, sort of critiquing that, yeah, as I mentioned. And what I want to focus is, as in verse 13, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." If you study and if you look at this particular phrase, it comes from the book of Hosea. Hosea is, as you might know, he was one of the prophets, and you see that in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 6, to be specific. This is where the phrase, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," comes in. And I just want to spend a few minutes talking about the context of Hosea and what really is going on, what is meant by what Hosea means when he says, when he quotes God, really, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Hosea chapter 6. And again, we don't have to read the whole thing. And in fact, I will not be reading the text here, but it comes from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Just a bit of context, okay, so that we understand what Hosea was saying. Some of you may be aware that Hosea is a very interesting book. Hosea was a prophet, and he talks about God's love, God's faithfulness. And in Hosea, I'm not pretending to be expert in Hebrew at this point, but the word for mercy, the word for compassion is chesed. It's C-H-E-S-E-D. And this is a beautiful word. This is a beautiful, rich, meaningful word that we find here. I desire chesed, not sacrifice. If you dig into the meaning of chesed, you find that it means love. It means loving kindness. I think it has been translated as compassion, as mercy, or as the loyal love of God, God's faithfulness, and so on and so forth. And here, of course, it's been translated as mercy. What does this word mean, chesed? And I think it's important for us to understand or try to chew on this concept a little bit for this morning. The story of Hosea and Hosea goes like this. Hosea was a prophet, and he has a wife. Her name is Gomer. And the story goes that, very quickly, the story goes that Gomer, Hosea's wife, was unfaithful to Hosea. And so they divorced. They broke up the relationship and they divorced. And Gomer goes and lives in her unfaithfulness and whatever she is doing and whatever. And she goes to her lovers and, live the unfaithful life. And at one point, God tells Hosea to go to Gomer and to rescue her. God tells Hosea to go and love her, win her back, so to say. And in fact, the Bible tells us that Gomer was almost like a slave, and Hosea has to go, and he was required to go and pay for her freedom, give money for her freedom, to buy her back with money, his own money. Even after the unfaithfulness, even after the sort of divorce or breaking up relationships has happened, Hosea was called to remain faithful to Gomer, despite the situations in which Gomer has been unfaithful to him. And this is really where the concept of chesed comes out in the narrative, that just as Hosea was required to go and buy Gomer back, even though she was unfaithful, in the same way God's love for Israel has been. Israel has been unfaithful. Israel has been unloyal to God. They have broken all the covenant, all the relationships, and they have bowed down to idols. They have gone after nations. And yet God goes to them. And of course, in Jesus, God pays the price to buy back the freedom. And so there's almost like a metaphor going on here between Hosea and Gomer. The point here being, chesed is that love, that loyalty that Hosea was called to embody. Even though Gomer has not been faithful, Hosea has to remain faithful. And of course, the metaphor used is of God, that God remains faithful. Israel, what God's people were doing was that they were breaking their faithfulness to God. They were bowing down to rituals. And despite all of this unfaithfulness, they were still sacrificing to God. They were still practicing the rituals like burned offerings. And so God says, I don't desire your sacrifice. I desire your faithfulness. I don't desire your burnt offerings. I desire your chesed. Just as I have been chesed to you, so also I desire that you are also chesed to me. And so, in Matthew, Jesus puts a bit of a spin on this. And he says that it's not just to God that we show chesed, but it's also to one another that this chesed, we are invited to show this compassion and faithfulness. What that means is that when those among us do not seem to deserve it, we are called to show love. It means that just as while we're still sinners, God loved us, and we are also invited to do the same, that we are called to give abundantly and generously our love and our faithfulness and our loyalty and our patience to people among us, those among us. And so I think practice of chesed, practice of compassion, practice of mercy can come in various forms. And I thought it can at least come in two forms. One is in the way we accept one another, the way we embrace one another, and beyond, of course. The metaphor that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 9, he says, it is not the well who needs a doctor, right? Those who are well, but it is the sick. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, as he says in verse 12. It's somewhat of an ironic, sarcastic comment, but I think the metaphor is quite relevant. Because you see, I think in our society, we often love those who are lovable. the whole premise of celebrity is that we raise up some figures and we all choose to love that celebrity, and we all love because that's lovable, that's beautiful, that's commendable and all that. But what Jesus is saying here is that it's not the lovable who are in particular need of love. It is those who are unlovable, so to say, who it is not the well who needs the physician. It's the sick who needs the physician. It's those who are struggling to be loved that needs love more. And so, yes, it is natural. It is a natural instinct to love those who are good to us, to be faithful to those who are faithful to us, and to give our efforts and attention to those who, quote-unquote, deserve it. But what Jesus is challenging his followers is we are called to show compassion and to show chesed to those who don't fit that category, just as he has shown us chesed and who has shown compassion to us. But I think it's more than just acceptance. It's more than just embracing someone. I think sometimes we are invited to help people, to meet the needs of people. And I'm drawn to Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus again quotes this same thing, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," in Matthew chapter 12. But this is in the context of a debate about Sabbath. And just to tell the story very quickly, the disciples and Jesus were going through a field, and the disciples they were hungry, and they started to pluck the grains from the field. And the Pharisees, being the Pharisees, they complained, how can they work? They considered that as work. How can they do something on Sabbath? And Jesus says, it's more important to be merciful than sacrifice. In other words, I think what he's saying here is that it's more important to be compassionate and to meet the needs of others, those who are hungry, those who are broken, those who need friendship, or those who need material help even. Jesus compares this religious practice of Sabbath and other things and prioritizes this acts of compassion, meeting the needs of others. Almost to say, if we are not being compassionate, if we are not being merciful, and if we are not doing what we can to help those who are in need, if we are not being gracious, just as God has been gracious to us, then our religious activities are void and empty. And I know that's a really strong, strong thing to say, but I think this is what Jesus seems to be saying, that if we are not being compassionate and merciful, then all of the Pharisees, all of the God's people's religious activities are void and empty. I think we need to remember that worship, from connecting with last Sunday's thought, worship is about having an open and contrite heart to desire to hear and respond to God, and also to have a compassionate heart. And these two are two sides of the same coin, because we are receiving what God has done for us. We are acknowledging what God has done for us, his chesed, his compassion for us. And we are responding to that chesed by showing compassion to others as well. And what I love about Matthew chapter 9, this particular text, is the way he says in verse 13, go and learn what this means. He's challenging his followers. Go and learn, go and practice it. Go and actually live it, and then you learn what this means, that God desires compassion and not sacrifice. And I thought, how might we today, in our context, how might we receive this message? How might this message of have compassion, have chesed for one another. How might we receive this? And I thought of five possible scenarios, I guess, five situations that we might be in. Firstly, we realize that the Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 12 comes in the context of Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And so no wonder that we see that the tone of a harsh tone, a sarcastic even to, and extreme tone in which Jesus is almost scolding the Pharisees for missing the point. And maybe sometimes that's where we are at. Maybe we are, we go through times in our life when we are a bit Pharisaic, I guess, and we need that sarcastic tone to correct us. Maybe that's where we are. And if that's where we are, then we need to be reminded that our religiosities are void if we are not responding in compassion to one another. But maybe that's not the case for most of us. Maybe for most of us, we are striving to be compassionate to one another. We're striving to be loving and to be kind to one another. But sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes you feel like it's futile. All your kindness is not really changing the other person or doesn't seem to be making a difference. I hope this message comes to us as an encouragement, as a reminder that we should not give up in our acts of compassion, in our attitudes of compassion, because this is what God desires, because this is what God wants for our life and what God prescribes for our life to be like. For maybe some of us, we live in an environment of, you know, cutthroat competition, where we are needing to be assertive, to be pushy, to be negative, to be not necessarily negative, but to be critical, to be, you know, to not be kind, so to say. And I grant that sometimes those has its place in different categories, different aspects of life. But maybe being in such a competitive environment, we begin to adopt such attitudes in our own hearts, in our own lives. We start to look at others from that paradigm instead of remembering to be compassionate. If that's where we are, I hope this message comes to us, reminding us our hearts to be compassionate, our hearts to be kind, and to respond to God's chesed to us by showing chesed to others as well. Or maybe some of us, we know people within our circle, within our family, who need our acceptance, who need our help. We might have something that we can offer to someone who are in need. And if that's where we are, may this message come to us, reminding us that our compassion is a reflection of our acknowledgement of God's grace, that we acknowledge God's grace and our own generosity in giving that same love to others. Or maybe we are in the other side of this dynamic, and you are the one who needs the compassion. You are the one who needs help or acceptance. May this message come to us that in God there is always acceptance, there's always compassion. And also it's an invitation even for those who feel the lack, that even those who feel the lack are also called to be compassionate. The invitation to be compassionate is not only for those who are full and rich and happy, but it's for every one of us. And so as we do that, we need to pray that we are not negligent to maybe perhaps people in our circle who need our help. Maybe I'm too concerned about my own concerns that I forget that there are other people that I can help. I can show compassion. And that we will be sensitive to the needs to the people around us. One thing that I often miss out in this story in Matthew chapter 9 is that once the sinners and tax collectors were received by Jesus, they become the servants. They become the ones showing compassion to others. And I think that is really what we are invited to do. We are invited to receive compassion, and we are invited to give compassion, chesed, to one another. Regardless of how the message comes to us, regardless of where we are today, it is our prayer that we will know what that means, chesed, to be compassionate, because God desires compassion. God desires mercy. And with that desire to be like our Father, who is full of compassion, and to be like Jesus, who is full of compassion, we will also want to practice chesed in our own lives. And so just as Jesus challenged the Pharisees, we will go and learn what this means in our life. So I'll pray, let me pray, and then I'll pass the time back to Holam and we'll continue to sing. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you poured out your grace and your compassion to us. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness that is new every morning and that never gets depleted. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have shown to us, and we want to respond in a manner, despite all our weaknesses, all our limitations, we want to respond in a way that resembles you, that follows your example. And so help us, O Lord, as we keep praying, we pray that you will help our unbelief, help our weaknesses, and give us the opportunity, and as the opportunity comes, help us to serve one another, to be compassionate, and to be like you in this manner. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name.